Our parasha is parashat Vayigash. Our parasha is well known. It's the parasha that Yosef reveals himself to the brothers. One of the most dramatic pesukim, probably in the entire Torah. Although we know it's coming. But our heart skips a beat every year when the Baal Koreh gets to that pasuk and says, Ani Yosef, Ha'od Ani Chai, I am Yosef, is my father still alive? And the brothers were dumbfounded. They couldn't answer. They were so surprised that they couldn't even verbally respond. And that's the basic story that happens in the parasha. It's the story of the revelation. But the pasuk says right before that, "Velo yachol Yosef lehitapek." He couldn't control himself anymore. At a certain point, he said, "I have to reveal myself now." The targum on the word lehitapek, it says, "Vela yachil Yosef le'ithasana." Ithasana means he didn't have the chosen. Chosen means the strength. Until this point, Yosef is controlling himself not to reveal himself. And it sounds like if he could have continued, he would have continued. But he couldn't do it anymore. He says, "Vela yachol," finished. That said, something happened that he said, "I cannot continue to keep the secret." So he finally reveals himself. So I want to know just a simple interpretation. What happened now that Yosef couldn't control himself? Below Yaakov. What happened? This is the third or fourth time that the brothers are going back and forth. And he was able to hold the secret. We don't see anything really in the text that would cause Yosef to maybe change his mind, to reveal himself. There's a stronger question that we have to ask. We talked a little about last week, although this week I'm not going into the Kabbalah and all that other stuff. I can't get to that until I understand it on a simple level. Then I can start making chidushim. These perashiyot of I'm struggling with all week to try to just to make sense of what happened. Yosef is behaving very, very strangely to the brothers. Everybody's coming down for food. Everybody in the world is coming down to Egypt for food. And the brothers come to Yosef, "We need food." Right away he says, "Oh, you're spies." And they get thrown in jail for 3 days. And then all of a sudden they find that their money is back in their pouches. And then he says, "Oh, you got to bring Binyamin down." And then all of a sudden he takes his goblet, which we talked about last week, the gaviyah, and he puts that... What is Yosef doing to the brothers over here? If I was Yosef, the second the brothers come down, "Wait, Rabotai, Ani Yosef." Why torture them? Why make this whole bring Binyamin? And what does he want over here, Yosef? Why is he going through this whole... Unless you tell me, this is revenge. Unless you tell me, listen, he has a right. Look what they did to him. You know, I could even make a good argument. I could say they threw Yosef into a bor, so he put them in prison in a bor for 3 days. I mean, you could start looking at it as a vendetta. Of course, I told you last week I don't subscribe to that opinion, but I did find the Ramban. So there's a very important Ramban over here. The Ramban is Vayeskor Yosef et Halomot. So it's right here. The Ramban, for those that are keeping track on my sources, it's Membet Pasuk Tet. Vayeskor Yosef et Halomot Asher Halam. It says right when he sees the brothers for the first time in Egypt, and before he tells them, "You're spies," it says he remembered the dreams. Vayeskor Yosef et Halomot Asher halam lahem vayomer alehem meragelim atem. He remembered the dreams. And once he remembered his dreams, remember the dreams he had? So he says, ah, the dreams. And then he starts his whole plan. So Ramban writes, ופי דעתי, כי יאמר הכתוב, כי בראות יוסף את אחד השתחווים לו. What happened? 8 brothers come down to Egypt, or 9 brothers. Binyamin is home. Yosef is there, obviously. And all of a sudden it says, they start bowing to him. They're bowing to him, they don't think it's Yosef, they're bowing to him because they think he's the king. So Yosef says, wait, this is it. This is it. I had a dream about this. I had a dream many years ago that says the brothers are going to bow to me. 11 brothers are going to bow to me. But 11 brothers are not there. There's only 10 brothers in Egypt. Binyamin is home. So the Ramban's opinion is that Yosef believed, and he was correct, that the dreams were prophecies, and this prophecy must come true. Ki yomar ha-katuv, ki bir'ot Yosef et echad v'shtahavim lo, when he saw the brothers bowing to him, zachar kol ha-halamot asher halam, you remember all those dreams, deja vu, came back to him. V'yada shelo netkayem echad mehen. And then he said, hey, these dreams never came true. And he knew what the Yosef was a great dream interpreter. He knew what the dreams meant. The dreams mean two things, because he had two dreams. First, it means 11 brothers will bow to him, and then the sun and the moon. The sun and the moon means that his father and his mother will bow to him. It doesn't mean mother, because his mother died. It means Bilha, his stepmother. He knew what the dreams meant, and he knew that these dreams had to happen. But he forgot about them. All of a sudden, when the brothers start to bow to him the first time, he says, oh, this is it. But he says, it's not the dream. There's 11 brothers that are supposed to bow to me. These are only 10. So what does Yosef do? He comes along, v'kevan shelo ra'a Binyamin. He doesn't see Binyamin with them. Hashav zot ha-tachbula. So he has to start to make an excuse to get Binyamin to come down. Why does he want to get Binyamin there? Not to torture the brothers and not to torture his father. But the dream has to come true. Ladies, these dreams were not nightmares or figments of an imagination or something he thought about during the day that came out in the dream during the night. This was a prophecy. And he knew that it had to happen. As a matter of fact, when Yaakov hears about the dreams, then what does it say that Yaakov's reaction was? Ve'aviv shamar et hadavar. Yaakov said, there's something going on over here. He registered it. He made a mental note. He said, yeah, one day these dreams will come true. So Yaakov understood that this was a prophecy. Yosef understood it was a prophecy. And that's why Yosef doesn't tell the brothers immediately, go bring your father down. Why didn't he tell them, I need Yosef, the first time he saw them? Because Binyamin has to come down first, because there's two dreams. First the brothers have to bow, then the father. It cannot be together. It has to be at two separate points. So if Yosef is going to say immediately, I'm Yosef, bring your father, how are the dreams going to come true now? They're all there together. So he has to bring Binyamin alone, let them bow, and then, okay, now I am Yosef, bring your father. So all that he was doing over here, according to the Ramban, was to let the dreams happen. Now, I ask a simple question. Yosef, let the dreams happen by themselves. Why do you need to help God? Why does he have to make a hishtadlut, an effort to make the dreams happen? God will make the dreams happen. It's not your business. I think the answer to that is because if God gave him the dreams, that was God's way of saying, and you have to make sure that this happens. Otherwise, why show him the dreams? Let it just happen by itself. If God gave him the dreams, He wants him to know about it before it happens, so he can help it happen. And certainly he cannot stand in the way of it. So I think Yosef's plan was like this. What I'm telling you now, I saw the Sefer called Be'ed Yosef. His plan was like this. Get Binyamin down, not Binyamin, 11 brothers. They don't know they're bowing to Yosef, by the way. They think they're bowing to the king, so what? But they bow. He goes to his checkbook, dream number one, done. Now we got to get dream number two. How does, in his brain, he want dream number two to happen? He's going to say, listen, if you want your brother, you got to bring your father down, and then he'll bring the father down. The father won't know it's Yosef yet, because he didn't reveal himself. Yaakov will bow to Yosef, and the dream will come true, finished. And it's better that way, because he'd rather his father bow down to him, not knowing that it's Yosef. It's uncomfortable for Yosef to make his father bow down to him. So therefore, he won't reveal himself. And the dreams will come true perfectly. But what happens? Something happens in this week's parasha. The brothers tell Yosef, listen, our father is very, very disturbed. Already he's upset that he lost one son. And now his son Binyamin is taken into captivity. So our father told us before he left, if something happens, he's going to die. He says, this is going to kill our father. That's what the brothers tell Yosef. And now over Yosef says, wait. If it kills the father, then the second prophecy cannot come true. Because if Yaakov dies from this anguish, he can't bow to him. And Yosef is not allowed to do anything that's going to interfere with the dream. So that's what it means in the pasuk. He couldn't control himself anymore. He wanted to control himself, but he couldn't. Because once he heard that Yaakov's life is in danger, we have to get him down ASAP. So right away he'll tell the brothers, okay, Ani Yosef, finish. The charade is over. Bring your father down. But now it gets a little tricky. Because now they go back to Yaakov and they say, Yosef's alive. Now he's going to have to go down to Egypt and bow to him, knowing that it's Yosef. That's uncomfortable. How's that going to happen? What is Yosef going to say? Okay, daddy, bow to me? How does that work? Is he going to say, listen, daddy, I'm uncomfortable, but we had a dream. You know the dream. You heard the dream. So please, I'm going to stand now and b'chavod. That's very uncomfortable. Yosef was trying to avoid that. Yosef was trying to avoid it. So look, listen to this Targum Yonatan ben Uziel that I found. It says when Yaakov comes down to Egypt, Vayesod Yosef mirkapto, Yosef gets on his chariot, again it's the royal chariot, Vayal likrat Yisrael, and he goes to greet his father. So Yaakov is walking, and Yosef is on the chariot. Yaakov, of course, is in Goshen. So the chariot is making its way to Goshen. Vayira elav, Vayipol al samarav, Vayetk al samarav od. And all of a sudden Yosef sees his father and he falls on him and he starts crying. Simple interpretation. It doesn't say anything about Yaakov Avinu, what he did. Look at Targum Yonatan ben Uziel. Amazing find. Targum, I read. Now, I told you, my second language is Aramaic, so I have no problem reading these Aramaic interpretations. And of course, I'll explain it to you. It's Pasuk Chavtet. Vetakish Yosef Artikeh, Yosef got on his chariot, Uslik, and he went up, Lekadamut Yisrael Avoy, to greet his father, Legoshen, Ugdan de Eshtemod'e Avoy, Segadle. Before Yosef could reach his father, Yaakov bowed. Yaakov didn't know that was Yosef coming. He thought that's Paro coming to see him. He sees some chariot with royal entourage. He said, my gosh, the king is coming to see me. So from far, Yaakov Avinu bows. So it worked perfect. Yaakov ends up bowing to Yosef without knowing that it's Yosef. So the prophecy comes true. Perfect. And then the Targum says, And that's why Yosef fell on his father and cried, because he felt still uncomfortable that his father had to bow to him. So therefore it says, Urkan al Pirkat Sabareh, and he cried on his father's shoulders, Ubcha, and he cried al Sabareh, Tuv al Disgadle, because his father had to bow to him. But okay, fine. But it works out perfect. So you have to say that Bilhah was either there with Yaakov Aminu, and the Pasuk assumes that they traveled together, or you have to say that there's always a part of a dream that's, we discount, and that was the discounted part of the dream. Different ways of learning that, but Bilhah somewhere, or we can discount. Rabotai, ladies. This is not what I came to tell you. This is not the story. I came to tell you something totally different. But I just want you to get an idea of the story first before I tell you the hadush that I came to say. With this, the Ramban answers the million-dollar question. Because there's the million-dollar question. The million-dollar question is, for 22 years, Yosef, you're in Egypt. Send your father a postcard. Send him a card. Dear Daddy, I'm alive. Now, you're going to tell me, Hakam, he was in jail for 10 years. And no problem, when he's in jail, he can't send a letter. But he's king for 9 years already. He was the king during the 7 years of the plenty, and then 2 years of the famine. The brothers don't come down till the second year of the famine. So he was king for 9 years. You're telling me in those 9 years, he doesn't have a secretary, he's the king. He doesn't have a runner, a courier, email, I know they didn't have. But there's got to be a way where he could put this to bed. He's got to realize that his father is suffering. He was the apple of his father's eye. He's got to know that his father is in a bad position. Finish the story. Write him a letter. So the Ramban comes along and says, כי יש לתמוה. אחר שעמד יוסף במצרים ימים רבים, after Yosef is the king for many years, והיה פקיד, נגיד, שר גדול, איך לא שלח כתב אל אביו? How come he didn't write his father a letter? להודיעו, to make him aware, ולנחמו, and to console him. כי מצרים קרוב לחברון בשישה ימים. He says it's only 6 days from Egypt to Hebron. So it's not such a far. And then he goes on to say, "Ve'ilu ayam mahalach shana." And even if it would take a year to go there, hayara ulodio. What happened to kavod avim? So if it takes a year, let the guy go for a year. You have workers. And his answer is, because Yosef cannot interfere with the dreams. Because if Yaakov finds out, so now how are they going to bow to him? And he understood that Ramban writes that the dreams had to come true in Egypt. That they had to bow to him in Egypt. How did he know that? He says, because Paro has a dream also. And what's Paro's dream? There's going to be a famine. At that point, Yosef says, why is there going to be a famine? Because God wants to bring the family down to Egypt, because that's when they're going to bow. So he knew it had to happen in Egypt. So if he's going to tell his father, I'm alive, so it interferes with the execution of the Nebuah. So that's the Ramban's theory. The Ramban's theory is everything Yosef is doing is for one reason. He had dreams. Ladies, if he didn't have dreams, this would have been over a long time ago. If there's no dreams involved, the brothers would have sold him to Egypt. The first moment Yosef had, he would have sent his father a letter, daddy all as well. They would have made a reunion and everybody would live happily ever after. But since he has to deal with two prophecies that he got, so right away when 10 brothers come down, he says, I need 11. Binyamin, bring them down. He doesn't want to torture the brothers, but he has no choice. He has a nebuah. And then once Binyamin comes down, he doesn't want to admit that he's Yosef. He doesn't want his father to have to come down and bow to him. But he has no choice. They say, our father's going to die. He's going to die? Okay, it's over. Look at the pig. I need Yosef. Bring him. And then Hashem works it out where he thinks he's Paro and he bows down to him, and everybody is happily ever after. By the way, you don't see anywhere that Yaakov ever tells Yosef, how come you didn't write me a postcard? Because obviously it was understood in retrospect that this is what had to happen. At least that's the Ramban's theory. Again, I come to present to you the theory of the Tzaddikim. There's another way of looking at this chapter. It's Or HaHaim HaKadosh. By the way, now I understand, now I'm hearing this, is my own 2 cents now. When Yosef comes along, it's Ani Yosef, and then he says, Ha'od Avihai. What's that question? Is my father still alive? Which means, he's saying, is my father still alive because we need to fulfill the second half of the prophecy? That's why it's his first question. Because the only reason why he admitted it now is so the prophecy can continue. So the first question is going to be, please, is my father still alive? Did he die yet? You're telling me he's on his deathbed because he's sick of what's going on with his children, of Binyamin and Yosef. Is he still alive? Please bring him down immediately. That's the motivating factor of Yosef. Why he asked that question right away. Otherwise it's a strange question to ask. But once they tell him their father's very sick, he says, please, I want to be high. They tell him, okay, everybody's fine. Bring him down immediately. And sure enough, the prophecies come true. But Or HaHaim HaKadosh says a little different. Or HaHaim HaKadosh in chapter 45, Pasuk 26. I mean, this is a big Hiddush of the Or HaHaim HaKadosh. He says like this. What I tell you? Mem He Chavav. Mem He Chavav. He says, unbelievable piece here. He didn't want to let his father know why. I quote, "V'u'al derech omram," because what the Gemara says in Berachot, page 43, "Mutav shiyapil adam atzmo lechivshan ha'esh," better that a person will jump into a fiery furnace, "ve'al yalbin pene habero," not to embarrass or humiliate somebody. A person has to be willing to jump into a fire before he humiliates. The Gemara tells a story. There was a rabbi called the Bizera. He was a big tzaddik. He used to give money to the poor people. Every morning he would wake up early before dawn, take envelopes and stick it under the doors of the poor people. And it was anonymous. So when the poor man woke up, he sees an envelope, he doesn't know who gave it to him. So one day, the poor couple, they said they're going to wait. And when the guy puts the envelope under the door, they're going to catch it to see who it is. Anyway, he puts the door, they're open. But the Bizera didn't want them to see him, so he started to run. He's running, and they're chasing him. It's not a bad chase, it's a good chase. They want to see who the tzaddik is, but the tzaddik doesn't want to embarrass them. Because I guess the Bizera knew them. They'll feel uncomfortable. Oh, Rabbi, so he doesn't want them to see. So he runs into the bakery. So he goes into the bakery and he jumps into the oven. So when they saw him go into the bakery. They come into the bakery and say, where can he be? Now, the last place is, oh, that's in the oven. Why should he jump in the oven? But that's what he did. And the oven was on. Yeah, but don't worry. He jumped into the oven. Anyway, miracle happened. He jumps out of the oven. So, he says later on, he says, better for a person to jump into a fiery oven and not to embarrass somebody. So he was willing to die. He stayed in the oven until they left the bakery. He jumped out and they never saw him. So you see over here how serious it is not to humiliate somebody. So the Or HaHaim writes, V'hash, you know why he didn't say to his father? V'hash al kevod ha'achim milibayisham. Because of what you had humiliated the brothers. Lefnei Yaakov v'Yitzhak. Yitzhak was still alive also. You know what? V'saval ad shi'isha'er aviv v'tza'arom milibayisham. He opted not to say because he felt what would have happened. He's going to send his father, "Daddy, I'm alive." Yaakov opens the mail one day. He's alive. And he stamps, he puts a signature. The first thing Yaakov's going to do is go to the brothers. And he's going to go to the brothers and say, "Boys, what is this over here? I thought you you told me he was eaten by an animal and this and that and that." And all of a sudden the brothers are going to be terribly humiliated. Now, Yosef didn't want to do that. Even though it was very difficult for Yosef. The Ohr HaKadosh says it was as difficult as jumping into a fiery furnace. That means Yosef for those 22 years probably wanted to take his father out of the misery. But he said, "I have to be willing to suffer. Like the Mizrach jumped into the fire. It's a suffering. Just not to humiliate." So you see what a tzaddik Yosef was. He only had the interest of his brothers. Now, you could ask me, which I'm thinking also out loud now, well, what happened after the fact? Once Yosef said, "I'm Yosef," and then Yaakov comes down, what happened over there? Didn't Yaakov ask the brothers, "What's going on over here?" Yosef, it says the books that they made a deal that they're going to avoid the subject. Because that's where you'll see the Ohr HaKadosh Kadosh writes, Yosef doesn't visit his father too much in Egypt. Yosef is in the capital, and Yaakov is in Goshen, and you'd figure for 17 years they're living in the same country, they would learn together. Yaakov learns with the grandchildren of the children of Yosef, Menashe and Ephraim. Why doesn't he learn with Yosef? I'm sure Yosef could take off 2-3 hours of work a day to go learn with his father. Because the Ohr HaKadosh writes, if they would have been learning together and spending time together, Yaakov would have said, "Yosef, tell me what happened." And he didn't want to. So he was avoiding his father so he doesn't have to. And it seems the brothers understood that Yosef is avoiding. So even if Yaakov asked the brothers probably would have said, "Yosef will tell you whatever. Ask Yosef." So it's possible that Yaakov, according to this, leaves this world without knowing all the details of, because everybody's trying to protect each other, that Yaakov shouldn't get angry at them, and who knows what. That's another theory. So we have two theories over here, valid theories, by the way. We have the Ramban, that he doesn't want to interfere with the prophecy. And we have Ohr HaKadosh Kadosh, he doesn't let them know, because he doesn't want to embarrass them. It would cause a tremendous humiliation, even though it's paining Yosef not to tell. However, ladies, today I came to say a novel chiddush. Again, it's my own chiddush. Take it with a grain of salt. I'll tell you why I came up with this chiddush. I found a sefer called Siftei Kohen. Siftei Kohen, it's called Siftei Kohen. He's analyzing the Pesukim over here. It says that before Yosef revealed himself to the brothers, it says he cried. He didn't just cry. The Pesuk writes, "Vayitin et kolo b'chi." He cried audibly. Audibly means out loud. I understand he's going to cry, it's emotional. But sometimes you see somebody crying, you're looking, is he crying? Yeah, look at his eyes, they're swelled up, you see some tears coming out. Yeah, I think he's crying. This was not a question, I think he's crying. This, he was crying. Vayiten et kolo. As a matter of fact, it's vayishma bet paro. The people on the outside hear Yosef wailing. What is this? It sounds like it's Kippur. The only time we hear grown men, bar minan, cry like that, and nobody died here. Nobody died. Nobody's dead, so it's not a funeral, God forbid. The only other time you hear somebody cry like that is on Kippur. If you come to our shul on Yom Kippur, you'll hear grown men crying, and you'll hear it. It's loud. The hazan, you hear him crying out loud. But this wasn't Kippur. And nobody died. And Yosef is crying, and you want to tell me, well, right, it's emotional. I'm not saying you shouldn't tear, but to cry audibly, it sounds like he's crying because of kapara of a sin. Now hold on. He didn't do any sin. The brother should be crying. If anything, Yosef should be, laughing. Why should he? What sin did he do that he's crying to such a degree? Says the Sifte Kohen. Garam levkot bekol gadol. Vayomer Yosef and Ahav, and Yosef will tell the brothers. He would say, Amale, Sibat Abechi, you know why I'm crying? Kemode umitvade al chet'o hagadol. Yosef is crying because he made a big sin. This was a crying, not of emotion. This was a crying of teshuvah. What sin did Yosef do? He's the victim. Ve'amar, Ani Yosef, Kelomar, Ani ba'olam. He says to himself, I don't believe it. What a avon I made. I'm Yosef. I'm alive. Ve'avi ba'olam. And my father's alive. Ve'lo hodativ. And all these years I didn't tell him. Kamma nitabel alai. How much mourning did I put my father in? How much suffering? Ech hai. How is he still living? When Yosef comes along and says that he cried, and then he says, Ani Yosef, he's talking to himself. He's saying, I don't believe it. I am Yosef. Ha'od Avi, hai, is my father still alive after what I put him through? He was self-criticizing his own avon, according to the Sifte Kohen. Wait, when I saw the Sifte Kohen, I said, hold it.